The year that Kerouac's book was published happened to be the same year that my family began its annual summer ritual of the long driving vacation across the country. To the Dakotas that first year, to Montana, to Canada, to the Deep South, to New England. Great big station wagon, no seat belts, a silver trailer coming behind. Two-lane blacktops and brand new interstate highways. Another American family caught up in that same annual ritual around the same time was the Friedlanders. And Lee Friedlander, a photographer, used those trips to make a lot of the black and white images that established him as one of the most acute, celebrated modern chroniclers of America. Young Eric, the Friedlander's son, grew up to become an innovative cellist. And his latest album is inspired by those Friedlander family trips. All the music on it performed on a solo cello. It's called Block Ice and Propane.
When I started writing the music, it had this Americana and this roots feel to it. And what I often do is just sit with the cello and kind of improvise and try to develop. Like, if I have a good start, I want to figure out the rest of the song. And these memories started filtering back, these memories of these trips that I took with my family every summer, my whole life, practically. And the block ice was an obligation that you had to fulfill because we had to get the big block of ice because otherwise the food would go stale. Actually, the original title was Block Ice, Tongue, and Propane. My father, there was a stretch when he began preparing tongue in the pressure cooker for lunch almost all the time. And
Block Ice and Propane is the name of one of the songs. And since you are holding a cello,
I am.
Why don't you play it?
Okay, cool.
Very nice indeed. That was Eric Friedlander playing his song Block Ice and Propane off the album of the same name. Now, there's a bow sitting next to you, which you didn't use at all. That was entirely plucked. How common, or rather, how uncommon is it to have works for cello that are not bowed at all?
I think it's fairly uncommon. I think me, along with most people, consider the bow the primary voice of the cello, but I really wanted to turn it around because my first instrument was guitar before I picked up the cello, and I played a lot of folk guitar and blues and things like that, and so I developed a finger-picking style. And in the last 3-4 years, I've been trying to get better at carrying those techniques to the cello and see what might happen. I don't know. There's some really beautiful quality that you get from plucking the cello. It's kind of guitar-ish, but it's much warmer and darker.
You talk in the liner notes beautifully about this sort of magical memories of driving at night in particular.
Yeah, well, you know, we did something then, which I'm sure is completely illegal now, that you just can't do, is what my sister and I would ride. We had a camper shell that sat on top of a 66 Chevrolet pickup, and, you know, we sat above the cab looking out the big picture window of the camper. You know, and at the end of these trips, we would get to kind of like Ohio or somewhere like that, and it was just, let's hit the turnpikes and get home. And that meant driving late into the night and pulling over at truck stops and sleeping for an hour. And we would just sit up there kind of dozing and listening to the radio or playing games, but also turn out the lights and just look out that window. And this is the magic of night driving. I still have a feeling for that now.
And the song on this record, Night White, is inspired by that set of memories.
Yeah.
Record, there is a fairly radical bipolarity, if not variety, between these sort of beautiful American rootsy songs like the one you just played and a song called Yakima, and then there's these dissonant modern pieces as well, seemingly from, I mean, they could be from two different records. What appeals to you about doing both things?
I wanted to carry a technique I started with my first record, which was to improvise live in the studio and bring that kind of on-the-spot feeling to the record. So I did that, and I really like the way the contrasts work because it gives you a kind of darker place to go, and where from when you exit that area and back into the kind of sweetness of the plucked pieces, you feel kind of refreshed and ready to hear one of those again.
Well, we're going to take you up on that. And we warned you that we were going to ask you to improvise something, but you don't know what I'm going to ask you to improvise off of.
That's true.
It is from Jack Kerouac's On the Road, early on in the book, and I will read it. A guy with a kind of tool shack on wheels, a truck full of tools that he drove standing up like a modern milkman, gave me a ride up the long hill, where I immediately got a ride from a farmer and his son heading out for Adel in Iowa. In this town, under a big elm tree near a gas station, I made the acquaintance of another hitchhiker, a typical New Yorker, an Irishman who'd been driving a truck for the post office most of his work years and was now headed for a girl in Denver and a new life. I think he was running away from something in New York, the law, most likely. He was a real red-nosed young drunk of 30 and would have bored me ordinarily, except that my senses were sharp for any kind of human friendship. He wore a beat sweater and baggy pants and had nothing with him in the way of a bag, just a toothbrush and handkerchiefs. He said we ought to hitch together. I should have said no, because he looked pretty awful on the road. But we stuck together and got a ride with a taciturn man to Stewart, Iowa, a town in which we were really stranded.
Thank you.
Very cool. Thank you very much. That was Eric Friedlander improvising a song that you, he, and I heard for the very first time, inspired by Jack Kerouac's, or a passage of Jack Kerouac's, On the Road. Why did you decide to pick up the bow rather than pluck for that piece?
You know, when you mentioned Kerouac, I thought it was going to be a little more brash, the period, and a little more, the passage, a little more aggressively with that kind of dark humor. And it really was kind of a sweet passage, and had a lot of warmth to it. And it really captured that kind of mile after mile feeling you can get when you're driving in the United States. So that's kind of, in the end, what I was after.
Well done. Eric Friedlander, thank you very much for coming into Studio 360.
Thank you.
Eric Friedlander's latest record is called Block Ice and Propane. You can hear another exclusive live performance by Eric at studio360.org. Coming up, if highway signs look fuzzy, don't fidget with your glasses. Get a new sign.
Opening it up, widening the typeface, there are minuscule changes, but they could be seen at 900 feet.
That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us.